If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So this evening, our seminar topic is, Don't Believe False Evidence Appearing Real. Allow Truth to Set You Free. So, you know, it should be the easiest thing in the world to return our awareness consciously to who and what we remain forever as one with our source. That should be the easiest thing for us to do. Because really, the spiritual path is simply about loving and blessing it all and walking with the beloved in total trust. That should be easy, right? Unless, of course, it's not. Which, given the current state that most people find themselves in, I think they need a little bit more filler here to allow those steps in between that final stage where you just leave it all in the hands of God. And that stage where you still believe that you have some sort of a separate identity and therefore need some sort of a process to bridge where you are now to where you would aspire to be. So I'm going to give you some very, very clear directives this evening. Not that we don't always, but we're going to focus tonight upon going into and experiencing directly that kingdom of heaven that Jesus has said is within. How do you get into it? Well, in truth, you've never left it. So what we need to get into it is our conscious awareness of it. And to have conscious awareness of something, you need to actually move your awareness inwardly to the place where that can be experienced on a personal level. If you don't have personal experience of a spiritual state, it's very difficult for you to move beyond the theory and the concept and the intellectual knowledge to the living presence, to where it totally occupies your entire being. And that is what all spiritual exercises are designed to do, is to lead you into that direct experience. So I'm going to lead you in a process now, and you can participate in it as we go into it, or you may prefer to just listen, or do it later when you can simply allow it to carry you beyond the physical sense of self into your soul awareness, and you can just move with that and see where it takes you. So if you would like to participate, take a deep breath and ask for the light. For that which would be for your highest divine good at this time, ask that the Christ light fill, surround, and protect you. That the Holy Spirit come alive inside you with new awareness of truth. And that it lead, guide, and direct you Godward and homeward. And allow you to fulfill your highest divine destiny in this incarnation. And into your hands, O Lord, we yield this time together, the spiritual sharing and the information that's imparted. Let it enter through and into each consciousness and flow through it, each nervous system, gently, gracefully, and in perfect divine ordering for the very highest, best, and good for all who are listening. And we ask this in the name of the Most Radiant One, Jesus the Christ. And we give thanks. So if you would like to participate, close your eyes very gently. Bring your attention into the center of your head. Go back behind your forehead and take a seat in the center of your head in your imagination. Just between your ears, you'll find a little comfy seat there, an asana. So sit upon it like a golden Buddha or a golden Christ child, however you'd like to imagine your inner master self, and relax. And gently gaze out through your third eye without forcing, very gently. Just look as if you were looking out the screen of your third eye, your forehead. Don't try to see anything. Just watch and see what shows up. Maybe something will and maybe something won't, and either way it doesn't matter because you're not going to be looking for phenomena. You're looking to transcend all phenomena into that which is forever, the reservoir of bliss, divine wholeness. And now bring your attention to, again, the center where you sit between your ears and listen to the sound current, which is like a ringing that you hear in the center of your head. So you may hear it in one ear or the other as you attune to it. Just listen. Now we're going to chant a sound, which is a universal mantra, that's found in the core inner circle, secret initiatory traditions of every world religion. And it's the HU. You can chant it as HU, or you can break it down into each letter. H you. When you chant it individually with each letter, it tends to bring a balance between the inner and the outer levels of the self. When you chant it simply as the word, you, that attunes and reflects back to you the highest divine essence of God. That which is beyond name, beyond form, which has been called the Sukhmad, the Sarmad, the Paramatma, the Purushottama, Adi Purusha, Anami Purush, and many other names, or Akshara. And its quality is pure spirituality, which manifests in this world as divine loving, unconditional and pure. That divine loving is also known as awareness, or the presence of God, or your own true identity. So Hugh is not only the name of God, it is actually the living word of God that took embodiment as your own spirit. You are the Hugh. You are the living word of God. You are the song celestial. You are the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. And when you chant Hugh, you are calling your own self forward into the awakening, so that you could find yourself in the place that you have never departed, in which you reside forever, one with God. It's so simple. You can chant it out loud for a while, and then you'll find that it goes into the silence. And as it goes into the silence, and you listen to that inner ringing radiance in the center of your head, and you watch behind your eyelids in the screen of the inside of your forehead. And often you will see then the beloved come in his, her, its radiant form, which may be simply as a light, often blue or purple or white, gold. And love calls you home, and you just ride that inner sound current of love and light and sound. And it carries you beyond the phenomenal worlds of the false appearances appearing real, and you awaken as flowing bliss, as awareness, as omnipresence, as omniscience, as ever-expanding divine life. So again, we recapitulate so that you can imprint. You quiet yourself. You align by taking a deep breath with an intention to connect with your highest divine God self. You ask your master teachers, angels, guides, and the Christ, the spiritual travelers, to protect you and to guide your way home. You rest your consciousness in the center of your skull, sitting between your ears, gazing out through your forehead, but not straining, just watching, just observing, just listening. you softly chant the name of God. Any name, actually, will do that makes your heart ring and sing. But I share with you the hue, because it is so simple, so universal, and so all-encompassing. And it resonates the very highest God frequencies and reflects them back into your heart, mind, and spiritual essence. And so we'll chant you, and then I'll show you how to return. Deep breath. And when you're practicing this, you alternate between chanting audibly and silently, and watching, observing, and listening. And if you find the mind wander, just go back to chanting and keep alternating. And at some point, the current, the sound current, the living word of God, will carry your awareness and merge you with the beloved. And you'll have an actual experience of the presence of the living God. And when you're ready to return, take a deep breath. And come back down to the top of your head. Bring your energy down through your body. Clench your fists, which tends to integrate. Yawn, which brings all of your subtle bodies back into alignment. Feel your feet. Wiggle your toes. Feel your bottom on the chair. Move your shoulders. Open your eyes. Think of your body and be present. Now, you have just done a spiritual exercise where you don't sit down and wait for God to come to you. You move your inner awareness inward and go to God. Through the living word of God. And you'll never find a greater, more direct spiritual practice than that. I've been practicing this for, in this lifetime, 43 years, for hours at a time, every day. And it has centered me in the heart of the all that is. And it enabled me to know my own inner beingness and to recognize it in you. So that is your practice. And that will allow you to verify through your own personal experience. You'll find that if you have a problem or a question or don't know what to do, if you sit down and chant the hue for a few times, ask a question or release your problem or concern into the hue and just let it go and sit quietly, you'll find that the answer just floats into your mind. Like a feather. That is the revelation of the Holy Spirit that comes like a holy dove into your mind and into your awareness. And all of a sudden, the problem is just dissolved. Because the power of the name of God, in this case the hue, dissolves mountains of worry, concerns, negative energy, karmic patterns, dis-ease, whatever, stress. It just dissolves it. So that is absolutely the best and the easiest stress reduction technique on the planet. It's the best way to go to sleep at night. And when you do that, you've spiritualized your mind and given notice to the inner realms that you want to seriously awaken to your own divine essence, that you're ready to let the truth set you free. You're ready to transcend the bondage of the law of karma and reincarnation. You're ready to step free through grace. So the hue is the path of living grace, as well as the path of living love. And of course, it's not confined to the hue, because all sounds are really variations of the hue, from the cry of a baby to the sound of the foghorn in the bay, to the whistle of the trains. It was so cute when I was in a small village in Germany a few years back. They had a little choo-choo train that came through in the morning and the evening. And the little choo-choo train said, "Hew, hew." It was so cute. It was a little hew train. And it reminded me of the soul train that we board. The soul train that we board is when we come into conscious commitment to follow the inner master, the spiritual traveler, home. And we make that commitment in spirit. We board what is called then the soul train. And then you just give over your karmic baggage to the porter, which would be the traveler. And you watch the scenery, and you enjoy your fellow companions in the soul journey, and you just stay on the train. That's all you have to do. How do you stay on the train? You love God. You love your master teacher. You love your fellow man and yourself, and you leave all the rest up to God to handle. Your duty is to love it all, and bless it all, and always choose the loving. That's it. You are absolutely going to return home if you do that. So spiritual realization comes by way of exercising your own levels of consciousness. And by those means, you verify your experience personally. And it becomes then your own. And once you have secured that as your own, nothing and no one can take it from you. And you carry that as your permanent treasure. It isn't lost when you make the transition out of this dimension and body into the next dimension. Because what you have actually secured spiritually is your eternal possession. So as you practice moving your attention inward and observing and listening to your spiritual senses, your conscious journey home begins. Your conscious journey. You're no longer unconscious. I know a victim of seeming outer circumstances and karmic pulls and pushes. You actually are flowing on the current of light and sound. So observing with your inner vision is the spiritual practice known to the travelers as nirat. And listening with your inner hearing is the spiritual practice known as surat. So nirat is to see inwardly, and surat is to hear inwardly. And it is through these inner spiritual exercises of observing, nirat, and listening, surat, that you awaken to the inner kingdom of heaven, which is called surat shabd yoga. It is that living word that links you with the divine presence, unites you, and merges you with that divine beloved. So this is a practice of spiritual inner awareness that gives a spiritual validation that transcends simply believing. This is what enables you to cultivate direct experience and knowing. And here, let me add that absolutely nothing is happening in the outer world. Nothing. Nothing is actually going on here. At best, this world serves as an arena of consciousness in which we can exercise multidimensional awareness. What you've taken to be an outer world is simply a parade of mental impressions, images, associations, and interpretations. The whole thing is of your own making, and it is all false evidence appearing real, which is an acronym for the word fear. The proof is this: when you know and abide in the truth, you are free. To abide in truth means to have identified and seen beyond the false evidence that's appearing as reality. You are free of fear because you abide in the beloved and have awakened to that divine reality that's abiding in you. As one deeply in love never loses sight of their loved one, so one awakened to truth sees only the one beloved in every face and form, and nothing else occupies their attention. So living in ever-expanding radiant loving is the truth, the evidence of the truth, that one has been set free through grace. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, above all else, we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength, and each other as our own self. To attain and maintain that high level of divine awareness requires purification. We need a thorough cleansing to remove the hard incrustations of ego that we've allowed to accumulate in our mind and around our heart. And that super-duper cleansing agent is the living word of God. The true living word of God is not written in any book, though it is described in every religious scripture. Most religions, however, settle on focusing upon the form, and they miss the one universal essence that every form comes forward to embody. And that's where you have religion that binds you to doctrine, but does not release you to truth. So the living word of God is the divine Shabd, the celestial song of God, the Bani, the sound current, the Shariat Kisugmad, the Ek. That is our most direct inner connection to the divine all that is. The living word of God is the voice for God. The ultimate God is beyond name, beyond form, beyond light, beyond sound, beyond everything. It is that which is, about which naught can be said. The Holy Spirit, however, is the translator, the mediator, the intercessor, and the bridge that connects the eternal with the temporal and passing, and guides and leads the process of our return to God. And the Holy Spirit is the embodiment that is the living Word of God that indwells you and me. It simply needs to be exercised and activated and allowed to express through the instrument. So the living word is the Bhagavad Gita, which simply means God's song. We are God's song of love. And it is God's song within us that is ever guiding us home. So we learn to attune our hearing to that inner sound current that will carry us beyond all false appearances to the living truth. And the most powerful tool to returning your awareness to this truth is repeating the name of the Lord with loving devotion. That is what a mantra does. The mantra means that which carries the mind beyond the phenomenal existence to the home we occupy forever within the heart of God. It carries the mind. The mind, the lower mind, the ego mind, that has bought into separation is what causes us to remain stuck on the gerbil wheel of birth and death, karma and reincarnation. That's what keeps you stuck. So it is the mantra that carries the mind beyond and dissolves it into the higher mind that is often called the mind that was in Christ Jesus, or the Buddha mind, or spiritual awareness. There's many names for it, the Rigpa. Doesn't matter what you call it. It's the experience of it that counts. So every thought, if you observe, is attached to a story. And that story is what confines and limits your expression. You could say that your story is your karma. It's your karmic baggage. And it's that karmic baggage that you need to give into the hands and caretakership of the Lord, a spiritual traveler. When you're initiated by a real, bona fide, true master, like I have been with my teacher, John Roger, that master teacher then takes responsibility for your spiritual arrival home. He or she has to make certain that you get home safely. That's their job, to secure you in those higher spiritual levels and to reach beyond the realms and the many, many worlds and universes and dimensions that are governed by polarity and duality, to get beyond these phenomenal realms, which would be the physical, the astral, the causal, the mental, the higher mental, and the etheric. To get beyond those realms, etheric being the unconscious realm or the great void, the Mahasuna, the deep crevasse of darkness that guards the higher kingdom of heaven, To get beyond that, you need a spiritual traveler who has the keys of soul transcendence. As I've said before, my teacher, John Roger, carries those keys, and his successor, John Morton, now carries those keys. And I know that they work because I have practiced what they've taught, and it worked. It set me free. So the proof is in the experience. If your path has brought you to a place of genuine freedom, to where you experience ongoing, expansive love and joy and peace, obviously it's working for you. But if you've not noticed any transformation and you're pretty much stuck in the same place you were last year, last month, last week, or even yesterday, you might want to ask Father, Mother, God to send you a bona fide living master. We're taught in the tradition of the spiritual travelers that you need a living master. Jesus the Christ qualifies because he overcame death and lives forevermore. And he is known as the king of all the travelers. He is the great and greatest spiritual traveler of all time, according to my teacher's teaching and tradition. However, your place, your dharma, your lineage may place you with other teachers and other masters, because there are many ways that are just as high. And again, the proof is if they work for you. And they work for you if you notice that every day you are developing a greater sense of genuine freedom within and without. It's easy to fool yourself, however, because there is a freedom on each level that is a demi-freedom or a small version, a mini-freedom, because the soul is present on every level of consciousness. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're secured and awakened to that level. That is why you need a spiritual traveler who is consciously aware and able to guide you through all of the levels, up through that central corridor of living light and living sound, into the soul realm, which is the first dimensional plane of truth. In fact, it is called Satchkhand, or Satyadesh, which simply means the realm of truth. So that is often called the fifth plane, the kingdom of soul, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the plane of truth. And to get there, you need a bona fide, illumined spiritual master that has the ability to work with you inwardly on the inner realms and outwardly in the physical. They always come to you when it is time for you to awaken and begin your journey home. And they initiate you consciously and physically to the sound current. So if you're really intending to make this your last appearance here in this dimension, you might want to check out what is available as a way for you to accomplish your objective. So the mantra is what carries your mind beyond the phenomenal into the absolute realms. And your thoughts and the story that they're connected to is what is holding your misery in place. your negative karma. The mantra, the name of God, has no story. It is the only thought that has the power to free your mind from both thinking as well as the stories your thinking gives rise to. The mantra eats up your karma like a little hungry Pac-Man. It gobbles up your karma. Mantra is hungry, and karma is what it's designed to eat. So feed your mantra all of your misery. Give it all of your thoughts, fears, worries, doubts, all of your problems. And let your mantra gobble them all up, leaving you with a blissful, calm inner awareness, as bright as a cloudless sky at noontime. Get that as a visual. When you chant Hue or whatever your mantra is, be aware that it is uprooting the darkness and the illusion and the misery and the pain. That's why sometimes when you meditate and you chant, your mind just goes like a mad monkey jumping from limb to limb. And don't even try to control your mind. Just keep bringing your mind back to the mantra, back to the mantra, back to the mantra. Pretty soon the mind is entrained like a cobra listening to the snake charmer play his flute. Actually, it can't hear, but it's the snake. The cobra is actually reacting and is entrained to the movement and the vibrations. So likewise, your mind becomes entrained in the movement of spiritual inner awareness of the sound current and the vibration of the name of God. It gets entrained, and pretty soon the mind just dissolves in the sound current, and you transcend the mind completely, and you move into pure spiritual inner awareness. And that's the value of the mantra. Now, some of you maybe have never heard of this option before, so let's examine it a little bit more, shall we? You know, given the current world view, it seems that most people have given their worldly concerns, they've totally bought into the false evidence appearing real. And we said before that false evidence appearing real is an acronym for fear. And fear comes from the belief that what you see with your physical eyes and hear with your physical ears and experience through your physical bodily senses is real and all there is. So fear shows you a false world of separation and attack and negativity. It's like a really bad dream. Love, however, reveals the true inner worlds that you share forever with God, as part of God. So all of the physical senses and sensations show you a world of duality, of separation between this and that, between this and that person, this and that place or thing, and between spirit and matter, heaven and earth, God and man. You know, you can list countless polarities here. The outer world that most have taken to be real is simply not real at all. It is all false evidence appearing real. It is all maya, samsara, an illusory dreamscape passing like a parade through your mind. Nothing your physical eyes show you in the outer world you've taken to be real is actually there. You are only seeing images your mind has projected, and your past sensory experience has interpreted as being thus and so. And because you believe it is so, thus it becomes real to you. But that need not be. There is another way to experience life, to experience yourself, and to awaken from the false evidence appearing real. So everything you see is an image your mind has made up and given meaning. And most people are feeling afraid, worried, and insecure for the world they see through the body's eyes and hear through the body's ears and sense through the physical sensations is seen as a world of separation and war and conflict and impermanence and defense and attack. A world where the evil and the virtuous alike suffer, age, and die. A world where God is an invisible, vague concept off somewhere in some heaven in the sky. And this is the world that A Course in Miracles refers to as the ego's nightmare. Just know that every dark and evil image is part of that nightmare. Every fleeting physical pleasure and accomplishment is also part of the ego's nightmare. The entire parade of worldly disasters, crises, and terrorism, all of it is part of this false evidence appearing real. And, like in any dream, it sure seems real when you believe you're going through it. And so, it is like a nightmare in every way. So settling for this interpretation and believing that this world of separation is real is unnecessary, and it is the cause of all suffering. There is another option available that will reveal the real world you share with God. We can all look and hear and sense through fear and see the ego's world, or we can all look and hear and sense through love and see a world of beauty filled with heaven's loveliness. Love opens our sight, our inner sight, our inner hearing, our inner sensing, so that we can see the real world beyond duality. And the awakening to love is the dawning of true spiritual awareness. So the best way to awaken, again, is by repeating the name of the Lord. What mantra or name of God is best? Again, it's the one that makes your heart sing. Every world religion shares Mahavakyas. A Mahavakya is a great truth proclamation. For example, God is. Or, I am that I am. I am one with God, Jesus, the Christ, Lord, and Savior. Soham, Allah Hu, Om Mani Padme Om, Om Namah Shivaya, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Om Anai Hu. You, Sat Siri Akal, and so many, many more. How to start using your mantra? Well, if you're new at this, you might try this approach. Or even if you're an old-timer, this is always a very good practice. This is how I actually was able to quiet my monkey mind and transcend thought. You select a mantra or a Mahavakya, a saying, a divine saying, an affirmation, if you will, but very God-specific. And You practice it for a week, okay? Repeat it every day for a week, and at some point you're going to find that there's one that just seems to stay in your mind. It settles right in there and feels right. So you may want to settle with that mantra. You can then purchase a japa mala, which is like a rosary consisting of 108 beads with a tassel on the end. The tassel represents God, and the 108 bead, the 108 is a sacred number. So you place the japa mala over your three fingers on your right hand, and you move the beads forward towards your thumb as you repeat your mantra on each bead. And that is a great way to begin your meditation and to center and quiet your mind, and a great way to end your day before you fall asleep. So just as the ego's nightmare kept one imprisoned in an imaginary lockdown under the laws of karma and reincarnation, or sin and reparation, so love's awakening through the repetition of the names of God, the sacred names of God, initiates one's soul transcendence through grace. Soul transcendence means to look, hear, and experience the world of love beyond the outer appearance. Soul transcendence lifts your attention into a higher vantage point. It's like going up in a hot air balloon where you can see everything from far above, or like a column of light, like an elevator that rides you up through the dimensional planes, and you can see each dimension as you pass through it, but you're not stuck in any one of them. So the ability to rise above earthly situations into this higher vantage point is the purpose of your spiritual practices. You are practicing seeing through the outer appearances to the inner essence of divine love immanent in all. You are listening to the inner counsel of the beloved, who tells you to love it all and bless it all, for only love is real, and you are here to be a blessing. So get busy blessing. That is your dharma. So only love is real, for God is love. Thus, only what is born of God is real, and whatever is born of God has eternal life. So all the boogeymen and women, all the apparitions and scary things, all of the false evidences appearing real simply vanish with the dawning of love. So don't believe what your eyes show you or your mind is telling you. Discern what you are seeing and who you are listening to, fear or love. We are to believe nothing that the body's eyes show us, but rather to turn to the inner master to teach us what is true and how to truly see. Likewise, don't believe and latch on to every thought that passes through your mind. Discern what energy is infusing that thought, fear or love. You know, that's really easy, for the ego's thoughts are always one of resistance, negativity, complaining, and againstness, whereas thoughts of love are always accepting, positive, loving, and inclusive. The ego judges and rejects, whereas love embraces and accepts. So observe your own states of consciousness, your reactions and responses. Notice whenever you are reacting out of ego, how uptight you feel, particularly in your tummy or your throat or your heart. Feel how it closes down your heart. How awful that feels when you have shut down your loving. It is a feeling of shutting out life's expansiveness. It's a feeling of being lonely and alienated and disconnected. It feels really, really terrible. But most have actually never paused to question why they are feeling sad or depressed or lonely or unhappy and so forth. And it is because they have excluded someone or something from their loving, they have shut down their heart. So our interchanges with others are meant to increase mutual happiness and bliss. When did you last share happiness and spiritual bliss with another? Can you recall? Relationships, though they seem to be with others, are always with God. Can you recall a time when you actually remembered this? Know that God resides as the core essence of every being, and only that divine essence is real and eternal. All else will in time pass away. God is the indweller in every heart. Right now, it's that divine indweller, the beloved, that is listening. So to harm another is to harm your beloved. And no one really wants to do that. No one in their right mind, that is. That is why we need to practice spiritual vigilance and alert awareness and always move to the loving response. Your speech and your words are meant to increase happiness, to soothe and comfort, to instill faith and bliss. You are to call one another forward in your higher nature. The words of a highly aware person can instill bliss and even activate spiritual awareness in another. Spontaneous right speech naturally flows when one is divinely attuned and spiritually integrated. Such speech flows effortlessly from one's heart without thought. One speaks from awareness rather than thinking. Do you know the difference? Have you experienced the difference between thinking and moving to awareness? Learn to watch your words. Observe your behavior. Listen to your speech. Allow your higher awareness to inspire the words you release into the ears of another. Share positive, bright imagery and uplifting sentiments with one another. Leave everyone happier and feeling better for having been in your presence. Leave every place you've been brighter and filled with more light, love, and peace than it was before you entered. Become a bestower of divine baraka, of blessings and grace wherever you go. Cause the atmosphere to sparkle with joy. And as you move through your day, sprinkle loving appreciation and goodwill everywhere. You will sparkle with joy as you remember that you are in the presence of God wherever you happen to be and with whomever. Know you are an emissary of the divine God realms. You are a messenger of the divine oneness of all life. And that, beloved, is all you need to do. Let's go out chanting. Hugh, deep breath. You. Hashem Adonai, blessed is the name of the Lord, Adonai.